switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Glad you could join us again as we venture out into the world of faith and the Word of God and teaching concerning things about perilous times that we live in. Now, today's netcast is going to be taken once again from Dr. Gary Price's TV show that we recorded a few weeks ago. This broadcast has already aired on the Concord, North Carolina cable system. And if you've already seen it, well, it's a little bit of a rerun. But I know most of you do not get that particular broadcast venue, so this will be new to you. We're covering some very important points, and as I record this introduction, it is November the 2nd. So we're just a couple of days away from the election of 2008. And I don't need to tell you, because everybody's been talking about the fact that this is a very critical, a very important election. And you need to take the time to pray and find out what God wants you to do in this election and not just vote your pocketbook, not vote your particular party, whatever it may be. The issue is you should be voting according to the principles, the standards, and the character that God lays out in His Word. Now, it's important to understand that, because if you vote for any other reason than what the Word of God says, you're not going to be consistent, and you run the risk of being influenced by the world, and we are not to take part in the counsel of the ungodly. Brother Kenneth Copeland this past week has had some excellent programs on his TV show and on his webcast. And matter of fact, you can still go to his website, kcm.org, and actually listen to those broadcasts that he has recorded on the website. He and David Barton were talking about some very important issues with regard to this upcoming election. So I'd encourage you to, if you want to dig deeper into this topic, go and watch his broadcast as well. But right now, let's go directly into this netcast today, as I said, taken from Dr. Price's program, The Message of Victory. And at the end of that, we'll come back for a few closing comments.
Bailey, and he's with me again this week, and we're going to talk about the Word of God and really center in on some of the things to help us make right decisions. Brother Copeland has this on his website, and I just wanted to read this to you. It's Your Keys to Effective Voting is what the title of this is. But he said, and made a quote in there, that what this nation does affects the whole world. We need to pray for our nation. We have to take a stand. Our stand is our vote, and our vote has a voice. You have to pray, and you have to vote. And so we want to encourage you right from the very beginning to get out and vote on November the 4th. We have a couple of weeks that is before the election, November the 4th. And we just want to encourage you. And we just felt, I felt like in my heart, I felt like that I want to help you. I want to help you think right and concerning scripturally. Because that's the Word of God is the most important thing in my life.
Amen.
And so if I can help you see some things and get rid of some of those doubts, those fears, then God's going to take care of this country. He's going to take care of your family, and He's going to take care of everything that we will give Him control over. See, you know, I hear people all the time telling me that God's in control.
Mm-hmm.
I wish He really was. But the problem is He's left us in control.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to get into that as far as teaching on that. But God,
we have to take our authority.
We have to take the authority that God has. We have to pray.
Yeah.
He has given us that authority to pray and to make a difference. And so it's just like Jesus being here praying. What He did tell us to do. He said, mm-hmm. Well, whenever I go tarry for the Holy Spirit, and mm-hmm. once you're endued with power, then you
the
will do
world.
The works that I do, and not greater works will you do than these.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, something we're doing at our church in terms of what's coming with the election and the importance of it,
We're meeting every Sunday night, which would be our regular service. But instead of having the regular service, it is simply to come together and pray. And we literally break into different groups. And there's, you read the scripture last week talking about praying for those that are in authority. We read that scripture. And then we say, all right, we're to pray for local government, for the Congress, for the Supreme Court, for the military, mm-hmm. for the school system, for the president, all the different areas of government. We break those areas down, and then the groups break down and take those certain areas and pray about each of those areas, and then we come together and pray for the nation. Mm-hmm. And it's not a thing of, you know, we're going to vote this party, that party. None of that even comes up. We're just praying for God's will in our nation rather than our will. When I say our will, I'm talking about people. Mm-hmm. People can be swayed by emotion. People can be swayed by rhetoric. They can be swayed by somebody that looks good, sounds good. You know, oh, wow, this guy, he just excites me to hear him talk. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God.
That's right.
It doesn't have anything to do with the things of God. The things of God don't change, and the Word of God doesn't change.
That's right.
People are notorious about changing.
That's right. That's right.
They're always going different directions depending on how their personal lives are going, how their emotions are being swayed. That's why it's important these voter guides and so forth that we're talking about are so important, because we take the authority of Scripture. And let me just give you a good example, a simple, good example from Scripture. Now, we all know the Ten Commandments. We've heard those since we were children. I know that there are those forces that are trying to get them taken out of schools. But when I was in school, we actually knew what the Ten Commandments were.
Yeah.
And you know the interesting thing about the Ten Commandments, Brother Gary, is they're Ten Commandments, not suggestions.
Yeah.
God just didn't say, well, you know, let me tell you what I think you ought to do. No, he said, this is what you should do. This is a commandment. Now, let's read starting in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in earth below, or is in the water under the earth, nor shalt thou bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. And I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, maidservant, nor shall thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. Funny how people are making fun of that statement, mm-hmm. but it's true.
That's right.
6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In verse 13, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen Christians, supposedly, marching in Raleigh when somebody was about to be executed, holding up signs, thou shalt not kill. Now, that shows a basic misunderstanding of this verse of Scripture. This verse of Scripture was not written in King James English in 1611 originally. It was written in Hebrew when God gave the Ten Commandments. So we need to find out what the Hebrew says. You know what the Hebrew says here? Thou shalt not take the life of the innocent.
Yeah.
Now, let's think about that just a minute. That murderer that's about to be executed, and God said through his word that we are to execute judgment on those who commit murder, mm-hmm. that they are worthy of death. So God's not confused about it.
That's right.
God is simply not confused. Commit murder, you're worthy of death. If that's the sentence and it's carried out, that is justice.
Yes.
Okay? That's not taking innocent life. That life is not innocent because they killed somebody. Now, a lot of Christians are going around marching and throwing fits because somebody gets executed. But those same Christians will allow abortion to occur because that's the woman's choice.
Yeah.
And yet the Scripture says do not take innocent life. Right. What is more innocent than a baby in the womb? That baby has not had a chance to commit any sin. You know, on an earlier broadcast that you had, you were talking about how the sin occurs because of the flesh. Mm. That your mind is the deciding factor. Your spirit is right before God if you're born again. And your mind is the deciding factor, but it's your flesh is trying to pull you into sin. That baby has never had an opportunity for its flesh to draw him or her into sin.
Yeah.
That baby is a spirit being that's been put into that flesh in that mother's womb, totally insulated and isolated from the world. There can be no more innocent flesh than an unborn baby.
That's right.
And yet, Christians will let that slide and say that's not an important issue. I bring up abortion to some people these days, and they roll their eyes and go, oh, no, here we go. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. There is no more important issue, according to the Word of God and according to God's Word, than not taking innocent life.
Mm-hmm.
God knew that child when it was in the womb. He put the Spirit, the living Spirit, in that child supernaturally.
Yeah.
And you're going to say it's okay to kill that child and to prematurely end its life? And, of course, we won't even get into partial birth abortions where they go in and ream out the head and take the brain out of the child before they pull it out of the womb. I mean, that's heinous. That's the kind of thing you'd see in a horror movie, as far as I'm concerned. And yet doctors are doing it day in and day out every day, and we're letting it happen in this nation unless we pray and unless we use the power of the vote that God's given us.
That's right.
And you read scriptures about how the nation rejoices when the righteous rule. It's time to rule.
That's right.
It's time to take our authority. It's time for us to vote according to the scripture. And I don't care what your personal finances look like, and I don't care what you think who's going to handle the finances of the world better. Who's going to render judgment based on the Word of God?
Yeah, and it's so much as far as our finances seems like the shift. When we get in trouble, we want to shift towards finances. It seems like that happens just about every election.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
This particular election, it's hard to tell who will do what.
Oh, I know. You can't look at either platform and say this is the one that's going to solve it. And both of them are saying, we really don't know.
I believe I would consult the Lord on this.
I know.
Let's
look to the Bible, because they're basically admitting they don't know.
What an idea.
We could have had a V8, you know. But, you know, it's going to be too late after the election to slap her head and say, wow, we could have had a V8. It's going to be too late at that point. Yeah. We need to pray now. We need to take a stand now. We need to look at what the Scripture says now. That's why these voter guides that you brought up in the last broadcast to me are so important, because somebody has taken the time to look at each party's platform, and they put out these platforms. They put out directly what they believe. They've just simply taken that, no bias, but they've taken these certain issues from the Scripture, and they said, here's what this party says, here's what this party says, here's what this candidate says, here's what that candidate says. Now, you decide. You know, Fox News has a thing. We report, you decide. Well, it's up to Christians.
Yeah.
We need to look at what is the truth about which the way they stand, and then we decide which one lines up with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a party that you're not registered with, doesn't matter which one lines up with Scripture.
That's right.
I'm a
Christian more than I am
Absolutely.
A party affiliate.
Exactly.
Now, this particular voter guide is for the general election 2008, and it's impartial and a nonpartisan look at North Carolina candidates. Now, that's what this is. And in our presidential election, we also have, and it's a voter's guide. You go in there, you take that.
I don't know all these people.
No.
I've never met most of these people.
And you don't hear much about them.
Somebody has taken what they've written and what they've said and put it down where we can find out what that is.
Yeah. And it has a form in here for you to fill out, and you can go through this and judge what candidates stand for what. And if they come on the side of the Word of God, then you know that. You know right from wrong. So if they come on the side of the Word of God, it doesn't matter what party they are. just vote for the right man that believes as close to the Word of God as you can get. You know, they're not gonna, it's probably not going to be everything. But get the best you can get, and you can take that, cut it out, take it into the polls with you, and you'll know exactly, you'll have the ballot. And then all you'll have to do is vote for the president aside of that, and you'll have your vote will be cast. Now, this is the presidential candidates, and a lot of information about what they believe and how they stand on different issues like business freedom and those that oppose gay pride and energy and all kinds of things that's listed on here. And I'm going to tell you something. Unless you have God's mind on this thing, we've got some slick talkers.
Yeah. And there are spiritual forces behind a lot of that.
It is.
There are things moving in terms of deception.
Yeah.
One of the things we're praying when we pray on Sunday nights at the church is that the covers be revealed, be taken away, to where that deception is exposed before the election. Because there's a lot of deception going on, a lot of things that are being said or that aren't being reported, a lot of things that aren't being said that would change the election if people knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are forces literally at work to keep that from happening.
I know it.
So we got to pray.
Now, here's the thing. You can go on Brother Copeland's website and get this, and it's the easiest because there's several things on there you can get a hold of. But if you want just this North Carolina voter guide, you can actually go to www.ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Or you can call them at the numbers, and we'll put these up on the screen so you can see that, and you can write them down and give them a call if you'd like. But you can download it on your computer is the easiest way to do this because you can have it immediately, just like that. They don't even have to mail it to you.
And the great thing about it is they pose the question, and then the candidate answered yes, no, or they didn't respond.
Yep.
And if they didn't respond, they tell you that. They just didn't respond.
Yeah.
So either it wasn't important enough to them, or everybody, they knew you wouldn't like the answer.
everybody in here, that is every candidate's in here in the North Carolina Voters Guide, and every one of them has been contacted and given the same opportunity. In fact, I've seen the forms. They just send a form and ask you to send it back. And if they don't get that back, I don't know if they call you or whatever they do, but they try to get you to answer those questions so that everybody will know exactly where you stand.
That is a blessing.
It is.
That is an absolute blessing. Because
that's a lot of hard work.
I've gone in to vote. I vote every time. Yeah. I do, because I take it seriously. It's a responsibility as Christians that we have. It's not to be taken lightly. And I go in to vote, and there are times that I just stand there and think, I don't know this person. I don't know either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get down to, like, clerk of court or something, or, you know, some position that hasn't been publicized, I'm like, you know, I don't want to just vote for the guy's name that sounds best.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? How do you find these things out? Well, somebody has taken the time to actually do that.
Playing Russian roulette with your pencil.
Oh, absolutely. It's a frustrating kind of thing. But this gives us actual information that we can use.
About their character.
About their character.
What they actually believe. Do they stand with the Bible?
And here's the thing, Brother Gary. There's a lot of people that may be watching, and I just sense this by the Spirit. There are people out there watching going, you know, you guys, you know, you're just being too narrow in your focus. You're focusing too much on just what the Bible says. Well, now, wait just a minute. Just what the Bible says is the only thing that's really important.
That's right.
Because the financial world, the health care world, you know, God's our healer.
Yes, He is.
You know, that's a benefit that we have as a believer, is that He's our healer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about health insurance if I'm well. So
that don't mean you don't want health insurance.
You don't want health insurance.
Right.
I'm not saying that, but I'm simply saying if you let that be your only focus.
Right.
And don't focus on the Scripture, then you're being swayed away from what's eternally important.
Yeah.
These other things are temporal. They are subject to change.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stay with something that isn't subject to change. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. God is not a man that He should lie. He has given us His Word.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us His Word for a purpose.
That's right.
Not just so we'll have a book we can set on the shelf, but so we'll have His instructions for life. This is the owner's manual for life.
That's right.
This is our guide.
That's right.
And just like this is a voter guide, this is a life guide.
Yeah.
So we don't want to look at this and say this really isn't important. This is a narrow focus. This is just you guys are being too caught up in Christian viewpoints. Yes.
You know what?
Somebody better be.
If somebody's watching us and that's the way you feel,
bless your heart.
I'm telling you, there's better. I mean,
oh,
a whole lot better than that.
Absolutely.
Because what happens is that we're not spiritually discerning some things,
mm-hmm.
and that's no put down.
No.
It's just that we're not. What I would say is, just get before God and say, God, help me with this.
Well,
rather than criticizing.
Those same people, if they stop and get really serious for a second, they realize. This really is what's important.
That's right.
And all these other things, you're just being swayed by your buddies and your coworkers and other people you talk to, what you heard about such and such. Just let all that slide and look at what the Bible says because it's eternal.
Yeah.
And that's what really matters. And it if is. We make decisions based on this, all those other things will fall into place.
Make decisions on good character. That's right. What it's all
and
about.
People that will hear from God.
People hear from God. We're talking about our leaders. We're talking about our president. We're talking about our vice president and the cabinet, and we're talking about the Congress.
They make decisions and that affect our lives in ways that we personally may never know.
Yeah.
But it is so important that they be in a position. You know, our current president, President Bush, has often said that as a believer, there has been times that he has sat in his office and prayed and said, Lord, what would you have me do? I tell you what. That is worth everything in the world for a leader to say, Lord, what would you have me do? Not what my agenda is, not what I want, not what my party wants me to do, but what do you want me to do? If we had everybody in office that would do that, mm-hmm. oh, man, you would see a change in this nation that would be immediate and hard to believe. But we could believe it because we're believers.
But you know, Bill, there is something else. We're talking about all this financial crisis that we're in. Mm-hmm. President Bush is not the one that put us in
no.
this crisis.
You look back, there are people that were in power back
yeah.
that put those things in motion. Nothing happens instantly in government.
Congress.
It takes time.
Congress.
Yeah.
It needs to be looked at and scrutinized.
Oh, absolutely.
And
because
so
they were the very ones. And they,
the
I've
president
seen the videotapes.
Can't do it.
I've seen the videotapes of Congress meeting in committees. And I saw this on television myself. I'm not talking third hand. These very people that are currently blaming President Bush for everything, they were standing there saying, now, we need to be sure that everybody can get a mortgage. We need to be sure that everybody can have a home. And you need to open up the financial world. This was years ago. And so they were advocating the very thing that got us in the problem, where these loans were given to people that couldn't pay them back.
Well, you know,
and now they're turning right around. And they're saying it's your fault. It's your
that's
fault.
Right.
I didn't have anything to do with it. It's your fault.
That's right.
See, that's
what
the
devil ever always does.
Exactly. He'll do something and he'll blame somebody else.
What I'm saying is
they're motivated
by their character,
potentially.
Yeah.
And their character is what makes them judge the way they judge.
Yeah.
You should judge righteous judgment, the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing. When
that means righteous means that you're right standing with God.
Exactly. What is right before God,
yeah.
not what's right in your own eyes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, glory to God. We've got a lot.
We've gotten over some hot stuff.
Yeah, but one thing I did want to do, and I don't know if I've got that focus.
Yeah, it's on the inside
okay.
here, I believe.
You did this, and it's on your website.
Yeah, this is an article I wrote on my website, WOFN.org. And if you want to go to the Articles tab, it's the very first article that's listed there. Focus. What were you...
Well, I was just going to ask you to comment on that and to give us some
okay.
of these scriptures that that we're looking at or whatever. However you want to handle that.
Okay.
We've got a few minutes left to deal with this.
Well, let me just give you the first paragraph of this article. I think it makes it fairly self-explanatory. God's calling the body of Christ, the church, to get serious in these last days. And this is what I keep hearing in my spirit, literally. In my spirit, I hear focus. Time is short. We have so much to do to reach a lost and dying world, and the world's getting worse. And then we talked about the scripture last time about these are the last days and the perilous times shall come.
Yep.
Well, the thing about it is we need to get serious about things of God. We need to focus on heavenly things, not natural things.
Mm-hmm.
Natural things, like we said, are subject to change. But spiritual things are eternal.
Yep.
So that's the key to this article. I encourage people to go on the website and read it, because we don't have the time to read the whole thing, get into all of it. But basically, that's it. If we, as Christians, will make a stand for God, then our nation will be healed. If we, as Christians, will humble ourselves and pray, the nation will be healed. So that's why it's so serious to me to make a stand on the Word of God and to
get
serious.
We're the responsible ones.
We're the ones that are responsible. We're the ones that are being really held accountable. And if we let all this stuff slide, then it's on us.
Yeah.
Because we're, I keep going back to the thing about that we're the salt of the earth. That term salt of the earth, they use salt as a preservative. That's the only preservative they had. They didn't have fancy refrigerators and all these kinds of things, preservative agents. All they had was salt. They would salt the meat, it would dry it, and then that would preserve it. Well, when Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, we take that phrase and somehow in our minds we think it means that we're the nice guys.
We're going to taste good.
Yeah, we're going to make things taste good. You know, somehow we think of it in those terms. But literally what you're saying is you're the preservative. You're here to keep this old rotten world from getting rottener.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's terrible English, but you get the point. The thing is, we're here as a preserving agent. Once we are removed from the earth as that preserving agent, it will go downhill so fast that in 7 years the whole thing will be over.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
We've been here for thousands of years since Jesus walked the earth, and we've been that preserving agent. When I say we, the body of Christ, but as soon as we're moved, it all happens.
Yeah. Let me read this scripture here in Proverbs 13, 14, and 15.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the law of the wise. Now, we're talking about wisdom. Proverbs is a book of wisdom.
Right, exactly.
So I would think that our presidents and our diplomats and all of our leaders who make all these decisions for us that we elect to do that, I think they need godly wisdom.
Absolutely.
Now, godly wisdom is not worldly wisdom.
Right.
In other words, again, it goes back to who is God?
Well,
what's the character?
That says there's a way that seems right to a man, but then there's the wisdom of God, and that's the way that's the way that leads to life.
So who's following that wisdom?
Yeah.
The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death.
Right. If you depart from that wisdom, it will lead to death. Absolutely.
And in this last one, it says, in verse 15, it says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard.
Yep.
And then who is the wise? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so we're out of time.
Well, praise God. I trust you found that information beneficial. And even though we're living in perilous times, this is not the time to draw back. This is a time to move forward with God and get involved with what He wants us to do as believers. Now, the resources that we mentioned that are available to you, you may say, well, you know, Dr. Bill, as you record this, it's Sunday, November the 2nd. The election is only 2 days away. That's as I record this. I don't know when you may be watching this netcast. So isn't it too late to take advantage of these resources? Well, if the election still has not taken place, you can get these resources online and get them and download them instantly. You don't have to wait for them to be mailed or anything like that. So if you're in North Carolina, you can go to ncfamily.org. If you are national or international, you can go to kcm.org and get the resources there. And then there is a website called votesmart.org, and that has all the resources for all the different states in the union to let you know how people are voting, how the politicians are voting, and what their stands are with regard to the principles that are outlined in the Word of God. And I'd encourage you to find out what those principles for those officials are, how they stand on them, how they voted on them, and so forth, and then vote accordingly, because we need to take a stand for God's Word. It's very important in these days. Now, I will say this. Again, as I record this, it's Sunday, November 2nd. I don't know how the election's going to come out. However it comes out, whoever wins, we need to pray for our president, pray for our government, whoever is elected into the various positions. We need to believe that they will hear from God and they will act according to the Word of God not according to their party affiliation, not according to their platform, if it is contrary to God's word. We need to hold them up before the Father God. We don't need to attack them. We don't need to do anything that is not in Christian love and compassion. But we can pray. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And so we can pray and we can believe God, whoever gets into office, and all will be well with believers. Amen. All right, well, join us next week. We're going to pick up with a new topic. And until then, remember to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Cast not away your confidence. Keep the switch of faith turned on.